Our second scripture reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19, and I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, did you know that the world was supposed to end on Monday? A man named Tony Elliott released a series of videos online in which he said that the world had gotten so bad that the planet would no longer be able to bear the weight of the pain and suffering that is taking place on it. And so at 7:27 a.m. on Monday, November 11th, the tectonic plates on Earth would collapse. This isn't something that can happen, by the way. They're not just going to, like, collapse. The tectonic plates would collapse, causing lava to spew out all over the face of the Earth, killing everyone. Well, we are all still here. The videos have been conveniently taken down, so they're not online anymore. But he has said that a new video and presumably a new prediction about when the world is really going to end is coming on December 14th. So stay tuned. You know, we hear stories like this all the time. People who, through their study of either science or scripture, claim to know how the world is going to end, when the world is going to end. About 8 years ago, there was a man named Harold Camping who said that the world was going to end at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on May 21st, 2011. He had a church and a radio show, and he convinced all of his followers that they needed to get ready. So all these people sold their houses, quit their jobs, took their life savings, and spent it on advertising, warning others to get ready for the second coming of Christ. May 21st came and went with no end of the world. And Harold Camping said, "You know, I must have made a mistake with my calculations and interpretation of Scripture," while all these people who trusted him were left with no homes or jobs or money. And the worst part is, he had actually done this before. In 1994, he had convinced people that Christ was coming back then, and when it didn't happen, he said, "You know, my calculations were off. It's actually May 21st, 2011. And people believed him again. All these people were so focused on the end that they stopped living this life. Now, Jesus obviously says here that many will come in my name saying, "I am he, and the time is near. Do not go after them." But there is something in a lot of people that's drawn to this. We see the pain and suffering of the world around us, and we want to somehow make sense of it. Like, things are getting worse and worse. It must be building up to an end. And people become so consumed with the world and the life to come that they stop caring about this world, this life. But what Jesus and Isaiah are both talking about here is not the end of the world. How things are getting worse and worse, so God is going to take us away from all the suffering and pain. What Jesus is focused on is not escaping suffering and pain, but how we live faithfully in the midst of suffering and pain. So our reading from Isaiah, it takes place at a time when the people of Israel are coming back from exile in Babylon. This foreign army had invaded Israel, destroyed their homes, destroyed the temple, either took captive or just killed the people. And after enduring almost 200 years of suffering and exile, the people of Israel are finally returning home. But the home that they're coming back to is just decimated. It's in ruins. The walls around Jerusalem that they had built to protect them are just rubble. So they have to rebuild them. They have to rebuild their homes. They have to rebuild the temple, the place where God lived, where they believed God's physical presence resided. They have to rebuild that. They have to rebuild their lives. So, I mean, this isn't like, oh, yay, that's over, and so now we get to go home and everything's good and back to normal again. There's a long haul ahead of them here. So they're focused on how they're going to rebuild all of this that took so long to build in the first place. And it's in the midst of that that God says, I'm about to create a new heavens and a new earth. The former things, all those things that happened to you, all the pain and suffering that you have had to endure, it will not even be remembered or come to mind, because you're going to be glad and you're going to rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people as a delight. There wasn't a whole lot of joy or delight in Jerusalem at that time. There was sadness and pain and suffering. So God says, no more shall the sound of weeping be heard, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be an infant that lives only a few days, or an old person who doesn't live to 100. God says, you are going to build houses and live in them. You're going to plant fields and eat their fruit. You're not going to build and plant, and then someone else comes in and takes it all, like what you've just gone through. You and your children and their children will be blessed. And not only that, God says, but the wolf is going to eat with the lamb. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. And no one, not even animals, will hurt or destroy on my holy mountain. So God is saying, I'm not just going to help you rebuild all the bricks and mortar, the walls, the temple, your homes. I'm going to do something so much better. Bigger. I'm going to transform this whole world, heaven and earth. I'm going to make it all new so that there's no more suffering and pain and violence and death. And the thing that we often miss here is that God doesn't say, you're going to do this. I'm going to give you everything you need to go fix this world. Or he doesn't say, we're going to do this. God says, I am going to do this, and all you have to do is trust me. And this is echoed in what Jesus says in Luke's gospel. In that time since Isaiah, they have rebuilt the temple. And Jesus is there, and people are talking about how great and how beautiful the temple is, and Jesus says, the days will come when not one stone is left upon another, all of it will be thrown down. Well, the people start asking him, when? When is this going to happen? Like, give us some warning about this. And it actually did happen about 40 years later. In the year 70 AD, the Romans destroyed the temple again. But Jesus doesn't tell them that. There are other places in the Gospels where Jesus says, it is not for you to know the day and the time. And here, Jesus says, don't listen to those who tell you they do, because they don't. Then Jesus goes into this whole thing where he talks about wars and insurrections, nation rising up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, and plagues. He tells them they'll be arrested and persecuted and even killed, but he's still not answering their question. They're saying, when? When is this going to happen? What's the sign going to be? And Jesus is not saying to them, when these things happen, that's your sign. That's when the temple will be destroyed, and that's when the end will come. That's not why he's saying this. What he's saying here is almost like all of these things are a natural result of living in this world and following him. It's like Michael Wilson talked about last Sunday, when Jesus said, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. What happens when lambs are surrounded by wolves? They get slaughtered, right? Jesus is saying to his followers, I am sending you out to get slaughtered. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't sign up for that, right? But following Jesus does not assure us of a life free from challenges and suffering and pain. I mean, Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him, and that those who want to save their lives will lose them. Nowhere does Jesus promise us that a life of faith will be easy and free from pain. He says here, these things must take place. But what he also says is, when you hear about it, when these things do take place, do not be afraid. Because I am with you, and I will give you the words to speak. Not a hair on your heads will perish. And by your endurance, you will gain your souls. Jesus is not telling them here how to avoid or escape suffering and pain. He is telling them how to live faithfully in the midst of suffering. And what he's saying here is the same thing God said to the people of Israel through Isaiah. I am going to do this. I am going to take care of you and lead you through this. And all you have to do is trust me. This has been a hard year in the life of our church. We have shared suffering and pain and loss together. We have lost people we loved, either through dying or moving away. We have shared the experience of having one of our pastors sick and not able to be a part of the everyday life of the church. Just a lot of unknown, uncertain territory that we have had to traverse together. And Jesus tells us these things must take place. This is how life goes. This is what happens when you love one another so deeply and share life together in a community centered around Christ. We bear one another's burdens and we feel the pain of life deeply. The only way to not feel that pain is to not love, to not care. And that's no way to go through life. But what I have seen out of you this year is not an avoidance of that pain or an attempt to just escape it. I mean, sure, it would have been easier to say, this situation with Ridgely is, it's just too hard. It's easier just to let her go and move on. There's too many unknowns here. Or it's too hard to be around this family that's suffering this terrible loss. I can't do that, so I'm not going to do that. Or it's too hard to say goodbye to this friend who's moving away. But you all didn't do that. In the midst of all of this, I have seen you trusting God. And that trust has allowed you to endure the challenges and pain that we have had to face and to love one another through it all. And maybe through enduring all of that, we've found our soul as a church. It is precisely the moments of suffering and pain in life that provide opportunities for us to bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ and our faith in him. It is when suffering and pain and hardships come that we have a chance to show the world around us what it looks like to live in ways that trust God. And what I'm here to tell you today is that the end is coming. It is coming next Sunday. Not the end of the world. I have no inside knowledge. And Jesus says you shouldn't listen to me even if I said I did. Next Sunday is the end of the church year. The world around us measures a year from January 1st to December 31st. But in the life of the church, we order our lives around a liturgical calendar that tells the story of Jesus. It begins with the first Sunday in Advent, and it ends with Christ the King Sunday. So we begin our year anticipating the coming of Christ. And we end our year celebrating that Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And next Sunday is Christ the King Sunday. Next Sunday, we will gather here to proclaim that Jesus Christ rules and reigns over heaven and earth, that there is no part of this world or our lives or all of creation that is outside the power and authority of Jesus Christ. We will celebrate that, and then we will move into a new year, a new beginning, a chance to start over as we pray for Christ to be born in new ways into this world and in our lives. Now that new year will undoubtedly bring challenges and pain of its own. These things must take place. The promise that we have as we move into it is that we are not alone. We have each other, and God is with us, guiding us toward this future in which God is making all things new. All we have to do is trust.